Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by everybody because most of the guests I would have been able to get or I would have reached out to are up to their eyeballs in reports that they are either working on or sifting through. So I am joined by myself. I promise I'm going to try to make this as fun as I possibly can. I'll keep it lighthearted as I typically try to. And I'm also going to try to make it as informative as I possibly can. I have been mostly in charge of writing the most of the articles for Silver Screen today. I'm recording this on a Monday night after having written 4 articles all about Anthony Davis. And that's going to be what today's topic of conversation is going to be. And I would imagine it's going to be what we pay attention to for the foreseeable future, at least until February 7th, and then likely beyond that if this doesn't get resolved before then. I'm going to break up the show into three segments, as I normally do. And those three segments are going to be how things should play out for the Lakers and what the Lakers have to do with this, how things are looking for the New Orleans Pelicans and everything that they're going to be dealing with. And then finally, likely outcomes based on the information that we have right now, which, by the way, is going to be continuing to evolve almost nonstop. So I would advise, if you're already listening, you're already doing your job. But as podcasts come out this week and next week, and as we get deeper into the NBA trade deadline, I would advise paying as close attention and listening as quickly as possible, because these shows might become, old or outdated pretty quickly because of how quickly information changes in the NBA. And that's even with this being a daily podcast, which is pretty insane. I'm going to, like I said, though, start with things from the Los Angeles Lakers standpoint. Now, as things go with the Lakers, you know it's always going to be as loud as possible. And you combine that with the LeBron James media circus, and now you have the Lonzo Ball chiming in and his camp chiming into how they would like to see this all go. So there's a lot to go through here, but it's pretty straightforward, really. The analysis here is pretty straightforward. There is nobody the Lakers should consider off the table or untouchable in trade negotiations for Anthony Davis. This is not a Dwight Howard situation. This is not a Steve Nash situation, Karl Malone situation, Gary Payton situation. This is a bona fide superstar, top 5 talent, in or about to hit the prime of his career at a position and who plays a style at a position that makes it really easy to build around, right? He's a 5 who can guard 4s. He obviously rebounds really well. He's a pretty good passer. That's the part of his game that I'm the most, I guess, quote unquote, iffy about. And by the way, he can stretch the floor. He can get by just about anybody. Great rim roller, great rim runner, super athlete. And again, he's only 25. So, like, when you're talking about, when you hear people say, oh, but you just never know with the upside with a Kyle Kuzma or with a Josh Hart, they're only 2 years younger than Anthony Davis. And growth isn't a linear thing. So, and chances are, of all of the Lakers that you're talking about here who are probably in trade negotiations, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, Zubats was brought up at the very beginning of the day. Those guys are good. They're going to be good players, I would imagine. But I would pretty confidently bet against any of them reaching the heights that Anthony Davis is currently at. And again, by the way, Davis could continue to improve himself. He's only 25 years old. There's just no situation here where you pass up on trading for Anthony Davis. And some might say, well, what if they just wait and see what offers might look like for him this summer? Well, it's unlikely you're going to get him for less in the summer, seeing as teams like the Boston Celtics and New York Knicks will be able to make their full offers. Like, the Knicks have to wait. They apparently are one of the teams that are interested in trading for Anthony Davis right now. They have to wait, though, to see what their where their actual draft pick is. If it's number one overall, the Lakers probably can't top that offer, no matter what they put on the table. If it falls down to like a top five pick, then the Lakers could probably compete, right? The Celtics are going to have some questions to ask of themselves too, where they say, well, as Anthony Davis said, they're the only team that was really singled out today in either direction. Fortunately for the Lakers, it was in the it was in a negative direction for the Celtics, where they are not considered a preferred destination for Anthony Davis. That means now that they have to ask a question, all right, do we include Jason Tatum in this trade, even with the potential that Davis leaves at the end of his time with this organization? And the fact that they would even ask that question probably tells you something about the direction that Danny Ainge is leaning in those conversations within the organization. So that's going to be something to watch. But for the Lakers, this is pretty straightforward. Get this done now. Get this done as quickly as you possibly can. Keep it simple. If the Pelicans come to you and they ask for the trade package that they talked about, that who was it? I think it was Woj tweeted out there, it was Brad Turner of the LA Times, who said that the Lakers would have to include Zubats, they'd have to include Lonzo, Kuzma, and a first round pick. Like, you get that done, and you laugh your way home from the bank. It's probably going to cost more than that, quite frankly. It'll probably cost multiple picks, either multiple picks, or they'll have to include Brandon Ingram or something like that. It's going to cost a lot, but it's a price that I would happily pay. The other thing to keep in mind here too is the Lakers probably aren't particularly popular within the Pelicans organization because of the role that Rich Paul has played in this, because of the role that LeBron James has played in this, and you know they're going to extend that to Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, utilizing those back-channeled conversations to be able to put themselves in a situation where they know exactly what's going on throughout Anthony Davis's camp. And as such, I think the Lakers should show up and at least be willing to work with New Orleans in good faith and show that, okay, we aren't going to try to take advantage of the situation as they did with Paul George, as they didn't really try to do this with Kawhi Leonard. I think the writing was on the wall right from the get-go there. They never really seemed to pursue Jimmy Butler all that. They were never fully invested, I don't think, in really going hard after Jimmy Butler. But for Paul George, they just kind of tried. They said, all right, we're willing to play the waiting game here, and it wound up biting him. And I think for this case here, given everything that's going on, it behooves the Lakers to actually really meet them at the negotiating table and work with New Orleans as best they possibly can. We're going to take another quick second here, or a quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about everything that's going on within or from the Pelican standpoint. We'll get to that here in a second. So, from New Orleans standpoint, I've been legitimately fighting with myself on this all day. Traditionally speaking, you want to, the Pelicans should wait this out and let it get to the summer and find out what exactly teams are willing to offer for Anthony Davis. Are the Celtics willing to include Jason Tatum? Are the Knicks willing to include Porzingis, Knox, and their top pick? What other mystery team might be out there willing to swoop in at the very end and really knock their socks off with a trade offer? In doing that, though, you risk a couple things. For one thing, if you find out that the Celtics aren't willing to include Tatum, well, that hurts your leverage in a negotiation with the Lakers, right? If you wait this out and you find out that the Knicks aren't willing to include, you know, all of those assets in the same trade package, again, same kind of thing. You hurt your leverage against any team that you might be negotiating with. And then from a personal standpoint, you also probably don't want to burn bridges with Rich Paul. And if Anthony Davis wants to be traded now, if it looks like he will never suit up for the New Orleans Pelicans again, and he wants to be moved as soon as possible, you don't really want to keep him around the team for the next couple months, few months, and piss off Rich Paul, who you're going to have to work with down the road. So it's not a cut and dry situation here for the Pelicans. I legitimately don't know what the best course of action for them is to take. Now, I think the fact that I would prefer them to trade him right away has a lot more to do with my Lakers biases than anything else. But I do, though, think that this isn't a yes or no kind of thing. I think if the Lakers do approach the Pelicans and they are willing to work with them fully and have a decent line of communication with them, that it makes some sense for the Pelicans to just rip the Band-Aid off. I don't think we have very many cases in which offers got better as you approached the time where you absolutely had to move the guy. And now, technically, you don't have to move Anthony Davis until February of 2020, right? Or even, you could let him walk for nothing. I wouldn't advise that. I don't think that's a very smart way to go about things here. But, that's a way they could play this out. I just don't think, like, as you approach deadlines, your leverage tends to weaken. And so for the Pelicans' side of this thing, they have to figure this out. The other thing, too, is if they move Anthony Davis, well, as soon as you move Anthony Davis, your leverage in trade talks for other pieces across your roster drops considerably, right? Because teams are going to know they, being the Pelicans, aren't going to want to pay upwards of $130 million over 5 years to Jrue Holiday to run point for a team that's going to be rebuilding. They're going to know that Julius Randle and Nikola Mirotic and all these other guys who could actually help a few teams out there, those guys are going to be hitting the market soon too. And the longer they wait on Davis, the less time they'll have to move anybody else in a short span shortly thereafter, right? So that's also worth keeping in mind here. There's just the point of this exercise here is to show that this is a lot more difficult on the New Orleans Pelicans. And for anybody who's ever tried to ask something of their parents when their parents were busy with something and got snapped at and knew that I should have read the room, I probably shouldn't have asked for a PS4 while my dad was stuck under his 64 Valiant trying to change the oil on an antiquated car. Like, I should have known how that was going to go. I eventually did not get the PS4 to shock everybody. But for the Lakers right now, they kind of have to be able to read the room here. And while the inclination is probably to say, all right, we're going to take advantage of a weakened organization, I just don't think that's the best way to handle this for the Lakers right now. It's just, you've done that a couple times. You've tried to strong-arm teams a couple times now, at least one time now, and it bit you. It wound up biting you in the butt to the point where Paul George is currently having an MVP-caliber season in Oklahoma City, right? And looks to be happy enough there to stay there for the foreseeable future. So for the Lakers here, I don't think strong-arming Dell Demps into doing anything when he probably already is not particularly fond of you is the best way to manage trade negotiations from the human aspect of things. I'm going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to try to get into, and this is a somewhat brief show, just because, one, I went really long yesterday as I answered all of your guys' questions, and two, just because this is a primer kind of show, it's just to lay some foundational knowledge or analysis down. So as the story continues to develop, I can continue to add to that. And I'm also going into the next week completely and utterly cognizant of the fact that there is likely a scenario here where I record an extra show just because the story demanded as such. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick second, and I'm going to get to the likely scenarios here and what the Lakers should be rooting for as the story continues to evolve. Let's start with where I think the story is probably heading. I do think and again, this might be biased, he's talking, but I do think it's most likely that Anthony Davis winds up a Laker. LeBron James is the best player, I think, a best athlete in the history of at least American professional sports at building leverage for himself and then utilizing leverage to form a situation that he prefers around him. We saw it in Miami with the Heat. We've seen it a couple times over with Cleveland, and I think we're watching it take place right now with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think he really wants to play with Anthony Davis. I think he really wants to play with Anthony Davis and a coach of his choosing, and I think that's the direction that we're all heading here. The other thing, too, is LeBron and clutch sports, like we're heading into uncharted territory here, and to the point where I think some teams are going to really start looking into, all right, what's actually going on behind the scenes here, where a player can dominate the offseason in a way that LeBron James appears ready to in an offseason that he's not even a free agent, right? This is Anthony Davis, who is, you know, as LeBron and his camp wants to have everybody believe it, he's just as close as any two clients are going to be with the same agency. And so if that's the extent of their relationship, then there's nothing else going on here. But you'd better bet that because it's the Lakers that are involved here, and because billionaires in a league run by billionaires don't want to be told what to do or how to run their business, they're going to raise some hell here as well. So that's probably going to be coming as well. But just in terms of this situation, I think the Lakers pony up. It probably costs them Lonzo, Kuzma, probably Zubats too, because you're trading for a center, a couple first round picks. And maybe Ingram. It spoke pretty loudly to me that Ingram wasn't listed among players that New Orleans was immediately interested in. That type of thing was pretty interesting. I'll just say it that way. I thought that really is stuck in the back of my mind. Like, well, like maybe it was a typo. I doubt it. Maybe it was a miscommunication. I doubt it. Those types of things don't happen in situations of this much importance. And Brandon Ingram not being listed really caught my attention. So I think that's kind of how this plays out. I'm torn, as I said earlier, whether this takes place now, meaning before the trade deadline, or in the summer. I think it's probably best for everybody involved to get it done with and get it over with, and just make the trade before things get too complicated and these negotiations go too deep into the weeds. But you know, you just never know, and I don't necessarily hold it. I wouldn't hold it against the New Orleans Pelicans if they said no. We gotta wait until the summer, and we gotta see what actual trade packages are on the table, so that we can have a bidding war with the Lakers. I think if it made it to the summer, it will be the Pelicans' choice and not the Lakers' choice. I would be surprised, quite frankly, if the Lakers haven't already made some type of an offer. That's how I'll put it. I would be surprised if some initial trade negotiations have already started and the Lakers have said, okay, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so plus X and Y assets in the draft are on the table. Where does that get us right now, right? Or vice versa, you know, where we've already seen that an initial price, an asking price, has already jumped up from the Pelicans here. I'd be surprised if those negotiations haven't already kind of taken that next step to where you really start to feel each other out. So I think that's probably how this winds up. The next likeliest scenario to me is that a mystery team pops up and either, you know, says that they're willing to risk losing Anthony Davis in a year as a means to hit the reset button on their books, right? Just kind of like what the Toronto Raptors have done with Kawhi Leonard, where they had a contract that, you know, might have worked out okay, might not have in DeMar DeRozan. And they said, well, maybe we can flip DeMar DeRozan for a year of Kawhi Leonard, really try to compete, really try to convince Leonard to stick around beyond this season. And if he doesn't, well, then we can fully hit the reset button shortly thereafter, right? I think that's where we'll probably head in this kind of situation, where some team out there who has a contract or two that isn't terrible, but you know, is for a useful NBA player, they convince themselves, all right, maybe we can convince Davis to stick around long term, and we'll offer up this situation to him, and we'll see how far we get down the line there. And if it doesn't work out, well, we have Davis under contract next season anyway, and we might be able to we might be able to flip him for something at that time that he makes it known that no, he probably isn't going to stick around long term. So I think that's probably the second most likely scenario here. But I think there's a bit of a gap between the first and second. And then the last one here is that, you know, either the Knicks or the Celtics land Anthony Davis. I really think Danny Ainge's really stupid comments about LeBron James, equating LeBron James talking about himself to the way that Donald Trump talks about himself. Like, I'm not going to get political here, but it's not getting political to point out how much LeBron does not like Donald Trump. And I think by comparing him in any way, shape, or form, even despite the facetiousness, despite any kind of joking manner that he might have been talking about there, like, you don't do that. And he's saying that about Rich Paul's closest friend and confidant and the reason why Paul is in this situation in the first place. So you can imagine that Paul is going to do whatever he can to kind of sort of stick it back at Danny Ainge for such dumb comments. So I think that's going to play a role here. Apparently, it's a not particularly well kept secret that Kyrie Irving is looking elsewhere beyond this season. And if Kyrie Irving departs, and that's something that Anthony Davis is legitimately concerned by, as was reported by Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, well, then that really hurts the Celtics' chances as well. And then for New York, from New York's standpoint, all right, they could offer up all of those assets and land Anthony Davis and pair him with Kyrie Irving. That seems like a viable, I guess, course of action for everybody involved. I just want to see the Knicks pull off that kind of thing before I give them the benefit of the doubt that they'll be able to and not get out of their own way. James Dolan he's about as bad an owner. I would argue he's the worst owner in American professional sports. And people who have a reputation as poor as his is currently don't tend to make things work or just all of a sudden become competent. And in order for the Knicks to walk away with both Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, that would be an example of competence that to this point in my life, having watched and laughed at the Knicks for decades now, that they've never been able to display. And I guess I'd believe it when I see it. So those are the three most likely scenarios right now. Remember, we're still waiting on Anthony Davis to specify that he wants to be a Laker. Until that happens, the Lakers are in that kind of boat where it's a guessing game. I wouldn't be shocked at all if and when that happens. The Lakers have a ton of leverage if that's how things play out. But again, I don't think they should go into negotiations with the Pelicans and try to press upon them this amount of leverage that they have right now. It's just that it just doesn't seem like the best way to handle things with an organization that likely isn't particularly fond of you right now. So we'll see. We'll see how things play out. If I'm able to, I believe Pete is under the weather, but if he's able to, feel better and I'm able to talk to him, we will talk tomorrow. And we will talk about the various scenarios and the latest developments in these Anthony Davis rumors and speculation and that news cycle that we're in there. The Lakers also have a game tomorrow that you know, they're not going to have – they're once again going to be without LeBron, it looks like. He is still nursing that groin. So we're going to talk about what their chances are against a pretty good Philadelphia 76ers team. So we'll preview a little bit of that as well. But for the most part, keep refreshing Twitter. Keep following Silver Screen and Roll. And you can follow me. I again, am in charge of 4 articles tomorrow for Silver Screen and Roll. And I'm sure most of them will have something to do with Anthony Davis. So you can follow me on Anthony, at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. For now, though, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.